Our spiritual affirmation this morning comes from Ezekiel. Ezekiel, the third chapter, starting at the 8th verse. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and their foreheads strong against their foreheads. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away. And I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. Yet, if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Because thou hast not given him a warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, we are grateful that we can come together today and hear your word. So Lord, let it be your word. Speak through us, speak to us. Help us as we worship you in spirit, worship you in truth, as we come to you and bow our hearts before you, asking that you would help us to be the men and women that you called us to be. Thank you, Lord, for being here this day. It's in Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen. You may be seated. I am lifted up, Lord. We want to see you. We want to know you. We want your name to be raised high above every name that is named in heaven and in earth. We want to acknowledge that you are God and there is not another. We want to acknowledge that there is no one that is greater than you, and we worship you. We bow our hearts to you. We want our hearts to be open to see how great you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help us. Help us, Lord. Today we want to look at our new series. We're going to be starting in Ezekiel. Next quarter we'll do Ezekiel and Daniel. Kind of zoom through these books, but there's some fascinating things here. Today we start in the third chapter of Ezekiel. And we want to make sure that as we're preaching through this, that we understand this concept that we want to make sure that we go back and get the history right, because we understand that when we're sharing the Word of God, the Word's got to make sense. It's got to be in line with what God was saying to his people at that time, and then make that historical bridge back and understand that, and then take the principles of that and make the historical bridge back to our time and say, this is how it applies to us here and now. That's a challenging thing to do sometimes. It's kind of an interesting way of looking at things, because Ezekiel, you want to say, well, I'm not so sure he's like us. Ezekiel, this guy who was taken from his land, he was moved out of his land because the land had been overrun and they had been taken over by another nation, and now he was in a different place. And while he's in this place, he receives the call from the Lord. Ezekiel was apparently a priest, at least out of the priestly line. And here this priest was being called to be a prophet. He's already got problems. There he was, he's a priest, and the world saying, you're a priest, show us how priests do life. And he's saying, but I'm being called to be a prophet. So this prophet-priest. And then he has this vision. What an amazing vision it is. I used to, when I was a little kid, the preachers would preach at a wheel, in the middle of a wheel. Oh, this is where they get that from. You know, because it's such a wild thing. And there were these creatures that he saw. They had faces like a man, a lion, and they had an ox and an eagle, and all on one being all at the same time. Okay, I wonder if they still sell those drugs. You know, it's just an amazing, amazing thing that he is seeing here. But this is a real vision from God, and they had this wheel that went everywhere that they went, these wheels that went with them, and it sounds like something out of science fiction. Then in chapter 2, because he's overwhelmed by this thing, he's on the ground, and in chapter 2 he hears it, and he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak to thee. And the Spirit into him, and when he spoke to me, he set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. He was sent to the people of Israel, sent to the people of God, sent to the people that had been captured, sent to the people that were not their own any longer. And there's just this amazing thing going on there. And he says in chapter 3, moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat thou that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. Take this word of God, you've got to chew it up first. You've got to take it in and consume it first. Let me ask you a question. Do you consume the Word of God? I mean, you know, metaphorically, I don't want you to eat your Bible. But do you, like, meditate on it? Do you think about it? Do you try to grasp what the Word of God is saying to you so that at the end of the day you could say, I ate this thing up. It was just so good. And I want you to get this. He's saying to all of us, I want you to eat this Word of God. That's what Ezekiel had to do. And he was to speak to the people of Israel. And we'll start at verse 8. Chapter 3. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. In other words, he is saying, listen, you've got to say some strong things, you've got to say some hard things, but you've got to speak the truth. I want you to speak the Word of God. They aren't always going to like it. In fact, they may not like it at all, but that's not the point. You are strong enough to do this thing because I've called you. You're strong enough to say what you need to say. I've made you. You are going to be stronger than a diamond. As an adamant harder than flint, have I made thy forehead. Fear them not. You know, we're often afraid of the world today. We're afraid that, oh, if we tell the truth about something or other, gender, or tell the truth about race, or tell the truth about the Word of God, that they're going to throw us in jail, or maybe they won't let us work, or maybe they won't give us that, or won't give us this, or they won't do what we want them to do. Oh, we're just always worried that somehow we're going to lose something. Somehow we're not going to get something. We live too often in fear, but he was telling Ezekiel in that day and telling us in this day, fear them not. Do not fear. Neither be dismayed at their looks. You know, sometimes we just get, oh, they looked hard at me, or they looked cross-eyed at me, or they didn't acknowledge when I came into the room, or they paid all kinds of attention to me, looked me up and down. You know, we just worry about stuff that's not worth worrying about. Don't be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. We can say about Garrettsville, it's a rebellious house. We could say about Ohio, it's a rebellious house. Well, the United States, of course, no, we've never been rebellious. We were born in rebellion. Though they be a rebellious house, we've got to get that. Says, an adamant, I'm going to start at 9 again. As an adamant, which is a diamond, harder than flint, have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ear. Today I want to make sure you understand I'm calling you to share the Word of God. I'm calling you, if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to share the truth of the Word of God. I'm calling you out, just like Ezekiel was called out. I want you to understand that we need to to do that. But before we can call anybody else out with the Word of God, we've got to be living the Word of God. We have to receive the Word of God ourselves. You know, it's really, really easy to point to what someone else is not doing or something that they're doing. You can look at them and say, they're not living up to the Word of God. I just got to go tell Sally. You know, and just gossip about it. We can't be people who call others to the Word of God if we are not calling ourselves to the Word of God. If we are not going to live up to the truth of the Word, we cannot expect others to live up to the truth of the Word. It has to reside in us. It has to reign in us. We must live in line with the truth of the Word of God. We've got to receive them in our heart. We say that we have to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. We have to agree with the fact that He is the Lord and that He has the right to tell us whatever He wants to tell us. We've got to do that. We've got to hear with our ears. We've got to listen. We've got to pay attention to what He's saying to us. Verse 11, and go get thee to them of the captivity. In their case, it was a physical captivity, but in our case, the captivity is to the media. The captivity is to social habits. The captivity is to all kinds of stuff that we are stuck in, ideas that don't hold any biblical merit, but we just think that they're the thing to do, so we keep doing them. We think that we have to do it this way and we have to do it that way. We're stuck there. We're captive to these things. Unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them and tell them, thus says the Lord God. You've got to tell them the truth, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, whether they're going to hear you, or even if they hear you, will they do what they're supposed to do? You know, we excuse ourselves a lot of times for not saying the Word of God into our communities, into our families, because, well, it doesn't matter what I say, they're going to do what they want to do. A lot of times we don't say what we should say because we've already assumed what's going to happen when we say it. We make these terrible assumptions that the Word of God will have no power. We make these terrible assumptions that the Word of God will have no effect. But the last thing that I've heard is that the Word of God shall not return unto him void. It's so important that we say, thus saith the Lord, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. And then the Spirit took him up there, took Ezekiel up, and he heard behind me a voice of great rushing, saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord from this place, from his place. Have you ever just lost yourself so much in the Word of God that you sense the glory of God? We're to worship until we sense the glory of God. We're to lose ourselves in this Word until we feel him and know him. I'm not talking about making us into, you know, these touchy-feely. It's much more than that. Until we are so caught up in this Word that we believe and we are excited and we're with him and we're just so much in the moment of being with God that it excites us and we have great and amazing joy. Oh, what a great thing He was saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. Oh, do you have those moments where you're so caught up, you're saying, blessed be our Lord and Savior. Blessed be God. How I feel that I am in the presence of the living God. I don't have enough times like that. I need to have more times where I'm so worshiping him that I'm lost in his presence. And then I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures. He was like he was there. That touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and the noise of a great rushing. The whole place was being shaken, and it was just a powerful time because he was worshiping. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away. Oh no. I had to come back to reality. Oh no. And I went in the bitterness and the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. The hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to them of the captivity in Tel Aviv. There he was. He's surrounded by the his people, and he's looking at them, and he's just in awe. That dwelt by the river of Kibar, and I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. I wondered what he was astonished about. He was probably astonished by the fact that he had been in the very presence of the living God, and it was such a wow moment. But he was also astonished by he's in the presence of the people of God and the world, and what a mess. He doesn't even know what to say next. When he realizes there's a God and how good that God is and how loving he is and how much he cares for us, and now he's got to go through this everyday stuff, and he's just astonished. Didn't have anything to say. And it came to pass at the end of the 7 days, of this fullness of times, that the word of the Lord came unto me. And God gave him something specific to say. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. You are watchmen to the house of Israel. You are watchmen to your houses. You are those that have been given the Spirit of the living God if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are to be obedient to him. And if you are to be obedient to him, then you need to go and make disciples, teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. You are watchmen. You are supposed to be paying attention to what's going on in our society and having a word from God to say. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. There are people that are walking over the precipice and will soon be falling forever into the depths of hell. And you have the word that can keep them from going. You have the power to be used as a channel of God for him to reach out and snatch them out of the clutches of hell. You have the power to speak and see life change. You have to do it his way, in his time, with his words, with the right spirit. But you have that opportunity. Verse 18 says, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. He will die because he's missing the mark. He will die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. You'll be responsible for his death because you didn't say what you should have said. Yet if thou warn the wicked and he turn not from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. You refused to be disobedient. You spoke when you were supposed to speak. You said what you were supposed to say. You did what you were supposed to do. You let your light so shine among them that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. There's a fact that you lived in such a way that God was able to speak through you. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, sometimes we see the very people of God. We see the very people of God messing up. We just let it go. Don't say anything to them. When a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. I don't think this is talking about losing salvation, but I do think this is sometime in early death. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. What a sad thing it is for someone who had been living a right lifestyle to be remembered for his sin. What a horrid thing that would be. Just think, Billy Graham had a friend who they went around together doing evangelistic crusades and working together. And that fella fell away from the faith so that he is not remembered anymore for all of the people that he saw come to the Lord. He's remembered for falling away. We're in a time where people deconstruct their faith. We're in this time where people fall away. And you think of all of the good stuff that they may have done up to that point. None of it will be remembered. They'll be remembered for having missed the mark, for having failed. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. And I think we need to be careful how we understand this. This is not necessarily talking about their salvation. That is something that Father decides. But there's a reality here that he has given us a part in all of these processes, and that we need to be obedient to him. We're not just saying a few words to soothe our conscience. We're in a battle to see souls saved, people changed. That's why we're giving the armor of God. We're in a battle. But don't despair, we're in that battle together. Don't despair. All this is saying to us is that we need to live as who we are. All this is saying to us is that we need to live as those that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that are willing together to share the truth of the gospel, to share what we have learned, to share so that some will come to their senses. And you notice I said some, because not all will. God is sovereign. He knows. But the sovereign God has told us to tell everybody. Tell them all that Jesus Christ is Lord. Show your love by mourning for the lost, caring about their souls, and not worried about your own reputation that they might somehow not like you because of what you said. There's tact that needs to be used. I want to tell you that one of the most comforting things is that we're in this thing together. We don't have to do this alone. We remind each other that we are brothers and sisters. We remind each other that God has called us together. And one of the things that we get to do is to remember the cost it took for us to be united, to be cleansed, to be changed. We call this the Lord's Supper. It's a time where we are reminded of the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He came as a man. He came, was born a virgin, lived a sinless life as 100% man, not being 100% God. He had this amazing ministry where he showed us how to live as men with the power of God coursing in us. He took upon him our sin. He was made sin for us, so that the Father might rain down all of the just punishment for sin on him, thereby wiping our slate clean forever. And if we confess with our mouth, we agree that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we believe in our heart that he is our Savior, then we too can be saved. We too are made different. We too have been changed. How cool is that? And we remember that. Recognizing that in remembrance of that, we ought to be so thankful that we want to share with others so that their blood is not on our hands. So let's pray. Dear Lord, I ask that you would cleanse me. I thank you that Jesus died on the cross and his blood covers my sin. I confess I am in need of a Savior. And I thank you, you have provided yourself to me. Help me to live with these brothers and sisters in such a way that we individually and together share the truth of the gospel so that lives might be changed, saved, delivered, made different because of the power of the living God. Thank you, Father, for what you have done in me. In Jesus' name I pray. Today, we'll pass out the elements, but I want you to think clearly. I believe, and if there's any doubt in your mind, you can get it right now. He's calling.